Okay, today, first of all, today's entire Yom Iyun is Le'ilui Nishmas Yair ben Rav Chaim. So all the learning that we do throughout the entire day should be Le'ilui Nishmaso. That's Rav Elmaleh's twin brother, Zichrono Livracha. This is his 10th Yortzeit. Today is the day of the Bova Yom of the Yortzeit. And I want to add, if I may, that this year, specifically that's taking place now, should be Le'ilui Nishmas, my father, Harin Kfaras Mishkavo, Rav Ari Lev David ben Rav Yaakov, who himself was Ish Chesed, and all the learning that we're doing in terms of Chesed should hopefully have an impact on us that we're doing today. The actions of Chesed that we do later today should have an impact on us so that it serves as a Eloi for his neshama. You all came here probably because of the title. Title this year is Shidduch Crisis. Who can you marry? I hope that I don't disappoint you because we're not going to get to that aspect of it for a few minutes. But in order to understand that and answer that question, we have to give some introduction to the topic and the topic of Chesed. And therefore, you'll bear with me till we get to that point. But I think it's important when we have a Yom Iyun on Chesed that first and foremost, whenever we learn any sugya, we have to give definition to the terminologies. So if I throw out to you guys over here, everybody can feel free to speak up. You already heard Rabbi Blaski, who basically said it all in that half hour. If I asked you, how would you define, before we get to the applications and the ramifications of Chesed, how would you define Chesed in one sentence? What would you say? Definition of Chesed.
Kindness.
Oh, excellent.
Helping others in ways they can't help themselves.
Helping others in ways they can't help themselves. Very good. Very good.
Giving others without expecting anything in return.
Giving others
without expecting anything in return.
Without expecting anything in return. Otherwise, we call Chesed Shel Emes. Beautiful.
Loving others like you love yourself.
Loving others like you love yourself. You have to l'recha kamocha as the definition of Chesed. Very good. Any other suggestions? Okay. Very good. Every point here is very much valid. I was brought up with the definition of Chesed from my Rebbe, Rav Meir Tursky Shlita. He quoted from his grandfather Rav Salavechik the following definition of Chesed. He said that the meaning of Chesed is when it's extreme and defies logic. Chesed is when it's extreme and defies logic. Now, in Judaism, we believe most of the time one's supposed to try to be balanced. We have the Rambam, the Shvil Azov. My in-laws are here visiting us. We have Mr. Daniels that's here also as a guest. And we thank you for coming and joining us. It's a big schus that I have all of you here today. My father-in-law loves to talk about the word balance, and all his drush loves to speak the word the balance. And that is true most of the time. However, Rav Salavechik said when it comes to defining what Chesed is, it is only Chesed if it's extreme and it defies logic. Now, Rav Tursky added, this Rav Salavechik did not say, but etymologically, that is what Chesed means when you look at throughout Tanakh. Chesed means extreme. Where do you see this? So we have just two sources quickly to understand where you see this in Tanakh. And there are many more rise one could bring, but let's just hit these two quickly and you'll see that it's really true that Chesed is extreme. To the point where the word Chesed can mean extreme evil. We usually associate Chesed with extreme good, but Chesed could even mean extreme evil because the root of the word means extreme. As we see in Vayikra Chaf Yud Zayin, there it's in Parshas Kedoshim, it's talking about the arayos, illicit relationships. And there you would think one terminology should not be in the pasuk, completely antithetical to what the Torah is trying to tell us over here about the Isurim, the prohibition of illicit relationships. And yet the Torah says that he's sirva on source number one, he's sirva servaso chesedhu. The pasuk itself says that illicit relationships is defined as chesed. What? Chesed? How could that be? So Rashi quotes from Chazal that the reason the terminology chesed is used over here is because by Cain and Hevel, God allowed them to marry their sisters in order to perpetuate the world. And that in itself was considered a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, livnos alomo mimena. That's what Rashi says, quoting from Chazal. However, the Ibn Ezra says, the pshuto shel mikra is actually chesed means tosefes biznus, extreme evil in terms of znus, tosefes biznus. And therefore the Torah uses the terminology chesed even in regard to illicit relations. Very fascinating. And you see another source in Tanakh, in Yonah, and say for Yonah, when Yonah writes over here in source number 2, Chazdom Yazovu, those people who were on the boat when this was stormy, and they were taking the Darim, and they were returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because their situation was so bleak, and they started turning back to God. And Yonah says about these individuals on the boat who took all these promises, what they were going to do, the Nedarim, he said, Chazdom Yazovu. They're going to leave their chesed. What does that mean, they're going to leave their chesed? So again, the Radak quotes 2 perushim. One perush is that Sha'achar Shinim Lutu Min Atzar Yazum Chasodo means in a cynical way that, listen, after everything has calmed down, so Yonah says, the chesed that they have done, they are going to all leave it, and in other words, their piety that they showed and displayed is going to leave once everything's good and everything has calmed down. But the second perush that the Radak quotes is Yazvu Elileim Shehem Chesed Unuvol. When Yonah says Chazdam Yazovu, he's referring to the Avodah Zarah. The word Chesed here means Avodah Zarah. He says all the, in a sincere way, that they have taken upon themselves to leave chesed, to leave their extreme avodah zarah in defiance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So those are 2 rayas where you see the Rav Soloveitchik's definition is absolutely correct. And I want to read from you, I heard this years ago, from Meir Tursky. He quoted from his grandfather's hesped of his paternal grandmother, the Tolna Rebbetzin. And I copied it over here. It's printed in Tradition in 1978. The hesped that he gave for this was his mechutanim. But the hesped he gave is such a beautiful hesped. But right here in this part of the hesped, in this part, usually he captures the essence of what we're trying to say, of what chesed was. Listen, now we'll read it together. Kindness is not always identical with greatness. As long as kindness is rational, logically warranted and justified by normal considerations, it does not have to be equated with greatness. When does kindness turn into greatness? When kindness reaches dimension of the absurd and becomes chesed, which according to Maimonides connotes exaggeration, too much, unwarranted, and unnecessary. For example, if you respond to the request of a stranger who asks to spend the holidays with you, you perform a good deed, but not a great deed. However, if the stranger who came for the holidays stays on indefinitely, and you care for him as if you were a member of your household, then you are performing not only a charitable deed, but a great deed. The more absurd, the greater the deed. So indeed acted the Rebbetzin. This example is an incident from her life, the Tolna Rebbetzin. Only such a woman is entrusted with the mission of carrying on the Masorah. When I heard this Maaser from Tursky, he actually said that the person who knocked on their door Erev Pesach in this story was coming straight from jail. Criminal knocked on the door, said he needed a place for Pesach. They took him in for that yontiv, and he lived in their house until he died. This is the definition of chesed. Sometimes we feel, right, we're alone in a base medicine, somebody comes in and asks for money. You can't hide, you're not talking to a chavrusa. So you take out a shekel, you give him a shekel. Is that chesed? According to Rav Soloveitchik, that's nice, it's kindness. That's not chesed. Chesed is when it's extreme and defies logic. Okay. Now I turn the page. We're going to discuss 2 aspects. Now that we understand what chesed is, we're going to discuss 2 ramifications of chesed. One is in the national role of Klal Yisrael, the role of chesed in our national destiny, and one is the role of chesed in our individual destiny, which is marriage and shidduchim. So, in terms of the first element, we'll keep it shorter. But it's in Yonah Diyoma, in this week's parasha, I could not hold myself back from putting this Mayer Malkum on here, because when I saw this, I was so blown away by this Mayer Malkum. It's a Tana D'Elio. And at night, I have a zechus to learn with two tzaddikim, Eli Best, Daniel Levy. And we learn the Sefer every night. I have a chesed from the Chavetz Chaim. And in there, he quotes this Tana D'Elio, which shows what, not as individuals, what Klal Yisrael as a whole needed to exit from their galus into the gula. What was necessary? What were the zechuyos? What were the merits that Klal Yisrael needed in terms of a klal to leave Mitzrayim? Now, we all know, we were brought up with the Rashi in this week's parsha that tells us that Klal Yisrael needed, in order to have the proper merit to leave, they needed Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. Those were the two things that Klal Yisrael needed. Rashi says in this week's parsha, if you're not up to Yen and Shnai Mikra, you will be soon. Rashi, source number two over here, page number two. Rashi says, "Higia Shmuel Shnetzvah Shneshbati Lavrom She'egal Es Bonav." God said, "I'm ready to redeem you." V'lo ha'yu biyadam mitzvos le'asik b'hem. They had no mitzvos. Kidei She'egal, in order to merit the redemption. She'ne'emar ba'at arom ve'eria. V'nasam ham shtei mitzvos dam pesah v'dam milah. Now they had mitzvos in which to engage in, to enable them to merit the redemption. And there's a third component that Rashi quotes at the end. Ulefisha yishtufim ba'avodah zara, as the Navi Yecheskel says, they were steeped in avodah zara. God says, mishlu ukhul lachem tzon. Mishlu means remove your hands from the avodah zara. Ukhul lachem tzon. Take on the mitzvah of emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have three mitzvahs. Dam Pesach, Dam Milah, and the emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. These three mitzvahs can be classified as Bein, Adam, Dam Pesach, Dam Milah, Emunah, Ben Adam Le, Makom. That's what I always knew. In order to get out, you needed the Ben Adam Makom. Comes along the Tana D'Elio, yo, the Medrash. In Sefer Avos Chesed, he brings it and tells us something that I never knew. That I never knew, but it makes so much sense in order to see and the completeness and the wholeness with which Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And feel free to say this over the Shabbos at your Shabbos table, because it's an unbelievable Tana D'Elio. You can read the whole paragraph later, but we're short on time, so let's just read the underlying parts, which is the key over here. Says the Chavetz Chaim, V'nir li shezeo, this is page number two, source number three, V'nir li shezeo mad iso b'tana d'Elio, kishoho Yisrael b'mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. Niskatsu kulam v'yashnu yachad. They gathered together, called an important meeting. An emergency meeting in Mitzrayim. Everybody must gather together. Tremendous asifa. Let's sit together to discuss what? Mishum shahayu kulam baguda achas. The karsu bris. They said at this meeting, let's make a pact, a bris, all of us, here today, together. What was the pact? What was the bris? Sheyasu gimilus chasadin ze im ze. We are now going to take upon ourselves that we will perform chesed one with the other. Wow. Not Ben Adam Makom anymore. Not Dam Pesach, Dam Milah, Emunah. In order for us to be redeemed, it's not enough. As a nation, it's not enough that we have Ben Adam Makom. We need Ben Adam L'Chaver. We're making a bris right now in Mitzrayim. Ben Adam L'Chaver. Gemilus chesed. And he quotes the psikta. That what an unbelievable psikta you see later on over here in Avos Chesed. It's underlined. Shedavar zeh hayasiba l'geula. This was a reason for the geula, just like the Ben Adam L'Makom. How do we know this? It says in the Shira Sayam, Nachisa v'chazdecha. What's the chazdecha? The chesed that they performed with one another. Amzugalta. That's the nation which I redeemed. The one who was Nachisa v'chazdecha. And when we sing and say the pasuk, have you ever stopped to think, what is it talking about? What chesed nu'urayach? What chesed of your youth? Says the psikta, this is the chesed, b'mei nu'urayhen b'mitzrayim. That time of the other, this is the pact that they had. So the role of chesed in our national destiny for the gal, to leave from the galus kula, had to be included, not just ben adam malkum, had to include as well chesed. As a klal, this is something that has to be on our minds now, as we're in our own galus. And we desperately, desperately, desperately need the ge'ula. This has to be something big that we all have to think about as a klal. But then there's a role of chesed in our individual destiny, as yechidim. And this, we get to the category of shiduchim, looking for a marriage partner. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at what the Torah, the categories of the Torah, the psukim themselves, what are the categories that the Torah describes? What are the standards that the Torah has of whom can enter the fold of Klal Yisrael? And Rabbi Yerblaski alluded to it downstairs. The Torah says, I'll tell you who cannot come into Klal Yisrael. Who cannot come into Klal Yisrael? On the bottom of page 2, source number 4, Lo yavu amoni v'moavi v'kal Hashem. If you're an Ammoni, you're a Moabi. And as the Gemara learns, it's really talking about a male, and we'll see why. He is not allowed to enter into the fold of Klal Yisrael. Gamdu rasiri lo yavu lehem v'kal Hashem. Ad olam, forever. He can convert, even if he converts. And many generations have passed, and he's a convert who's keeping 613 mitzvos, and his kids are learning in yeshiva. We don't accept them to marry into our daughters of Klal Yisrael. Why not? So the pasuk itself tells us, Advar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. There's one reason that the Torah says Ammon and Moab are out, because when we were leaving, and we were from Mitzrayim, and we were tired, and we were hungry, Ammon and Moab didn't come to greet us with bread and water, and they're out because of that reason. Now, there's something very anomalous about this, because if you turn the page to page number 3, a few psukim later, when we talk about the Egyptians and them marrying into the fold of Klal Yisrael, assuming they convert, do we allow it or do we disallow it? Says the pasuk, Lo sisai v'dom ki achichu, lo sisai mitzri. Do not reject the mitzri. Why not? Ki ger hayisi ba'artso, ger hayisa ba'artso. You yourself, you were gerim, and you were in their land. You lived as sojourners in their land. Bonim asher yavadu lehem, dor shlishi yavol lehem b'kal Hashem. And therefore, a mitzri who converts, 3 generations, they have to wait 3 generations, but 3 generations later, an Egyptian can marry into the fold of Klal Yisrael. Why? The mitzrim? Have we not read what's going on in the Pesukim and Shemos? What the mitzrim are doing to Klal Yisrael? How do we allow these people to marry into Klal Yisrael? Ammoni, Moavi, no? And mitzri, yes? So Rashi says right there on the spot, Lo sisai mitzri mikol v'kol, afal pisha zarku zuchurechem lo yor. They threw the males, the male Jewish children, they threw them into the Nile. How can we marry into such people? Matam, zot Rashi, shahayu lachem achsanya v'shasadcha. They were our hosts. Our hosts? Shkoyach, you were our hosts? You were trying to uproot us completely. Avodas parach. You tried killing out our babies. Everything you did, you tried to annihilate us completely, and you are our hosts, says Rashi, it doesn't make a difference. First of all, for the first 90 years, not only were they our hosts, but they treated us nicely. And that was for the first, let's say, 90 years. But after that, it doesn't make a difference. They did a chesed to us, and therefore, they are not rejected from marrying into the fold of Klal Yisrael, albeit after 3 generations. Unbelievable. Look at this. Ammon and Moab, on the one hand, they didn't perform a chesed, and therefore they're out. They can't ever marry. And the Mitzrim, after all they did to us, try to destroy us, yet they can marry into the fold. And what's more, it's even more striking, is if you read on in source number 6, we read about Amalek. Amalek. After everything the Torah describes of what they did to us, the Rambam Paskins is not over here, but the Rambam Paskins Hilchos Malachim, that we are, Klal Yisrael is allowed to accept Ger Amaleki. If an Amaleki wants to convert, we accept him. And the Mepharshim point out, he is the category of an Edomi. He's actually the grandson of Edom, right? And what did the Pasuk say about Edomi in source number 5? Lo sisav Edomi kechichu, Edomi also. Amalek has a category of Edomi, and after 3 generations, an Amaleki who converts can marry into Klal Yisrael. Hayitachin? How could this be? The 2 top nations on our hit list, the 2 most wanted, the Mitzrim, the Amalekim, they can marry into the fold of Klal Yisrael. And yet Ammon and Moab, they didn't come out to greet us fine. It wasn't nice. We were hungry. We were tired. But they didn't perform chesed. That's it now. So we have to understand this. And I think if we understand this, we can understand for ourselves what is the most crucial aspect of what we look for in a prospective shidduch in marriage, in a marriage partner. And there are many things we have to look for. But I think we can learn from here probably the most essential ingredient. What the Torah says, I will not allow these people to marry in, Ammon and Moab. Lo kid mulecho, menlecho in mind. Mitzrayim, Amalekim, not such nice people in terms of what they did to us, but yet we see Mitzrayim did some form of chesed, and Amalekim, we don't find that. So therefore, how are we to understand this and how can we apply it to ourselves? So there are basically 2 mahalchim. There are 2 ways to understand what was so heinous and detrimental that in terms of this spiritual blemish of Ammon and Moab that cannot be purged ever. And yet somehow by Amalekim and the Mitzrim, somehow after 3 generations they can be purged from that spiritual blemish and they can marry you. So one is the Ramban, and one I saw in Rav Nevin Zal. The first Mahalach is from the Ramban. Now the Ramban is in Parshas Ki Tsetse. He's really discussing another matter, but he says something which is really pertinent to this question, to this paradox between Ammon and Moab and Mitzrim. And that is, he says in source number 7 over here, that the bottom line is Ammon and Moab, they had an ancestor by the name of, who was their father, and I guess grandfather, who was that? Lot. Now, Avraham Avinu did a big chesed to Lot, as the Ramban points out. What did Avraham Avinu do for Lot? When he was taken captive of the 4 kings, and he took Lot as captive, the 4 kings took Lot as captive, who came running when he heard? Who came running to save him? That was Avraham Avinu. And in whose schus did Lot get to leave before this total destruction of stone? It was purely in the schus of Avraham Avinu. Now you, Ammon and Moab, who know this, you owe us one. You owe us one. Look what Avram did for your father Lot. And yet, Ammon and Moab, despite the fact that they should have such a karas hatov to Klal Yisrael, b'nei Avram Avinu, lo kidnu. No, they didn't go out. Says the Ramban in source number 7, this is called an ingrate. This is called kfiyas tova. Not acknowledging the good that one has done for you. And that is a terrible thing. Says the Ramban, and instead they returned evil, and they should have returned a favor to Bnei Avraham Avinu. Now, this is not it's a bad thing to not be grateful. And the truth of the matter is, there's an unbelievable Rashi in the Parsha Yisavu, in the Parsha Bikurim. There, Rashi says you're supposed to give a karas hatov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does Rashi say? It's one of my favorite Rashi's in Chumash. He says, "Ein chakaf tova." How can you give a karas tova Kadosh Baruch Hu? But at least, says Rashi, don't be an ingrate. You can't acknowledge everything God does for us, but at least don't be a kafwe tova. So over here, Ammon and Moab, they were kafwe tova, and that is heinous. That is so detrimental to one's spiritual existence that we do not allow them to come into the fold of Klal Yisrael. However, Rav Nevin Zal says something that even hits more to the core He says, over here, the Ramban is saying that it's almost symptomatic. The fact that they didn't do chesed is symptomatic. It's a symptomatic of the fact that they were kafoy tova. But says Rav Nevenson, source number 8, and we'll read the we'll read it together. It's in English. An explanation of this anomaly reveals a fundamental principle of Jewish thought. To the best of our knowledge, Hashem's purpose in creating the world was for the benefit of mankind. Accordingly, He formed the universe with an infinite number of beings upon whom He bestows good. The universe functions on the principle of free will, where those who choose to follow God's precepts are rewarded, while those who choose to do wrong are punished. To the extent that a man devotes himself to the attribute of chesed, he imitates his creator and thus achieves an intimate relationship with the divine. Consequently, when he refrains from acts of loving kindness, of chesed, he distances himself from any spark of the divine. Says Rav Nevenson, it's not just that he didn't perform chesed and therefore we see that they were not grateful, they were ingrates. No. One who doesn't perform chesed has cut himself off from the divine. And if you turn the page there, he says in the last paragraph, when on page number 4, when Amon and Moab eschewed chesed, they struck a blow at the very crux of divine existence and thereby inflicted upon themselves a wound that can never be healed. One who does not perform chesed, it's not just a matter of, you were not grateful. You have cut yourself off, as he says, he struck a blow at the very crux of divine existence. That is who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That is it. Ki chafetz chesed hu, tov Hashem lakol, the definition of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to be connected to God, one has to follow in God's path and perform chesed. That connects us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So as a person removes himself from chesed, he's removing himself from God. So such people had cut themselves off from the Ribbono Shel Olam because of their lack of chesed. They cannot marry into the fold. And the Chavetz Chaim says it beautifully. He says in source number 9, it says, "Va'ivrekim as adam b'tzalma, we were created b'tzelem elokim." What does it mean I was created b'tzelem elokim? It means that I had the ability to have the same midos that a Kodesh Baruch Hu acts in the world. What does that mean? Source number 9. V'hainu shenosim b'koch nasho sheyistama b'midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can be misdama to the midos. We can be similar. Tzelem Elokim means that we are similar in our midos. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with the world, we act to others. And that's why when a person pulls away and he says, what do I need chesed for? I'm involved in so many other good things. I'm learning. I'm davening. No. Person removes himself from chesed, the Chavetz Chaim says, he's losing his Tzelem Elokim. When it says God made us with Tzelem Elokim, he's with the midos of chesed and rachamim and all those midos. Kol zman that you remove yourself from that, you literally cut the cord. And that's why Amon and Moab cut the cord. They can't be. The Amalekim, the Mitzrim, not the greatest, but they didn't cut the cord. Rabosai, out of all the things a person has to look for in a shidduch, Rabbeinu Bechaye says in Parshas Chayisara, they used to read, the minhag was, by a chasan, by Yom Chasunasa, what would they read? Parshas Chayisara. Why? Because that's the parsha of Avraham sending Eliezer to look for a shidduch for his son Yitzchak and Rivka. And we learned so much of what not to look for. And the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, a person should not look for money. A person should not solely look for beauty. A person should not look, as he says, the Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, for Sarara. Oh, the Shver has good business. That's the one for me. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, a person has to put those things aside. A person has to be L'shem Shemayim and realize that there's one thing that we are concerned about. And that is the midos, the person you're going to marry, which primarily is the chesed. And as we've seen, why is that so essential? Why is the chesed of one's prospective wife so crucial? Because it's not just, oh, then I'll have a nice household, I'll have people coming in and out. Because in essence, what we've seen over here is that the chesed is the core to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kol Zman that a person does more chesed, they bring themselves closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that impacts in every aspect of one's life. The Malbim says, the Malbim says an unbelievable thing. Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu says one thing when he says, I'm going to send you to Eliezer to look for a shidduch. He says, don't take them from Benos HaKnaani. take him from my family. And the question that many people ask is that, what was the problem exactly? His family, they weren't so stark themselves. His family, they were over the Avodah Zarah. There were many people he could have married off his son to. Aner, Eshkol, Mamre, Canaan, that believed in monotheism. They were from. Why did he say absolutely not from the Canaan? Aner, Eshkol, Mamre. What about the people he converted himself? They were from Canaan also. But what was the problem? Why did he send to his family? They were over the Avodah Zarah. Says the Malbim, I can read it inside now. The Malbim says that there's, when you deal with midos of a person, and remember this, that gets passed on from parent to child. When you deal with hashkafa, emunos, videos, they're being over there on the Zara, that's up here in the intellect. Even if the parents may believe in that, Avraham says, I'm not worried about that. You know what? Because that's not going to get passed on. We'll take Rivka out of that situation of the Avodah Zarah. But the Midos, that is going directly from the parent to the child. And he explains why that is. Rabbi Bechai writes a mashal. He says, not only is it from the parents to the child, he actually says that a person really even comes from the mother to the children. He says, just like wine that sits in the barrel takes the taste on of the barrel that it's in, so too every child takes on the midos as they sit in the womb of the mother, takes on the midos of the mother. And therefore, when a person, as many of us in the next few years will start looking, almost the first question you have to ask is about the midos. About the chesed. And we define what that chesed is, what chesed means. Because at the end of the day, if you want your family and your children and your grandchildren to be people who are filled with chesed, then ultimately it comes from the wife. Ultimately it comes from the wife. Time is out. Rabosai, there's more to say, but he wrote on that we should all be zocha ourselves to work on chesed. And then, when we look for a prospective shidduch, the person out there who's malei chesed will be interested in us. And thereby, we will create doros yisharim in Klal Yisrael. That's your question.
The next session of this class in 5 minutes will be by Rabbi Goldschmidt.